The truth. What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, August 26, 2021. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. And we have a lot to talk about. It's another busy news day. And we're going to cram in as much news as we can before we open up those phone lines. Mike is in our control room taking care of business. And as it has been for several days now, Afghanistan is topping the news media, in corporate media, independent media. There are now reports that there have been four explosions at the Kabul airport, and it's killed something like 12 U.S. service people, at least 60 Afghans, and so it's really getting nasty over there. The bombings are being blamed on the new and improved ISIS called ISIS-K. At least that's who's getting the blame here. And already we're seeing the war hawks in this country stand up and say, we have to go back into Afghanistan. Well, my response to that is, you first, you know, and here's your rifle and here's your parachute, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, just another sign of the cluster fluck that this has turned into. The U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan issued a statement saying that getting to the airport in Kabul was safe just 2 hours before the explosions went off at the airport. So they missed that one. Although supposedly the Pentagon had indicated they had intelligence there was going to be some kind of an attack here. Anyway, Republicans and Democrats are pleading with Biden, pardon me, to extend the August 31st Afghanistan pullout deadline to get all Americans and allies out. These politicians don't seem to get it. They seem to think this is up to Joe Biden, and it isn't. It's up to the Taliban, which is forming a new government in Afghanistan, and it's their country, and they won the war, and they get to make the rules, and they're saying, get the heck out. Now, there is actually word that, this is coming from Sam Faddis, a former CIA, and he's basically saying that actually the deadline to get people out is just 72 hours from now, not next Tuesday as had been claimed here. And so it really is, it's a bit of a jam here. And again, the Washington warmongers are out there saying, you know, it's Al-Qaeda and it's ISIS-K, and we've got to go back in there and protect those poppies. I mean, protect those Afghan people from these horrible, horrible terrorists. And again, you guys first. I think the American people have really had enough of war. I continue to talk to people around here. They are very angry at how this whole mess has been handled. They're angry over Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and Congo and Somalia and everywhere else the United States is sticking its nose into. Those who are not trying to get out by the Kabul airport are heading for the border. The problem there is that the Taliban is controlling all the border crossings. They are not letting Afghans through. And even worse, the neighboring countries are sending back those who managed to get across the border outside of the crossing. So they're definitely stuck in there. Oddly enough, you know, and everybody's pushing their own particular agenda. This is a major disaster and humanitarian crisis, but everybody is still out there with their little agendas. Now, New Hampshire Democratic Representative Chris Pappas and 62 other members of Congress are demanding that the Biden administration evacuate the LGBTQIA, BFD, LSMFT, whatever, before the Taliban kills them. And yes, it is a real danger, but I don't think the LGBTQ should be given any more priority than any other American citizens. In fact, I think the Americans should be given a priority over, you know, in the evacuations. And the U.S. government is out there claiming they've evacuated something like 14,000 refugees, but only a few hundred of them have been Americans. Now, yesterday we talked about this story where the Pentagon was out there trying to sort of make up for this idea that they weren't going to leave the Kabul airport, and they'd sent out two helicopter missions to rescue Americans away from the airport. And it's now turned out those helicopters didn't fly very far. They stayed within Kabul. They just went on out into the city and collected up a few Americans. But the Pentagon is saying that no Americans outside of Kabul have been rescued. And they're insisting that they've got the capability to do so. They're just, you know, busy with other things or some other such excuse here. All righty. Now, the latest spin and talking point, and I got to tell you, I was really disgusted when I saw this. The government, the Biden administration, the Pentagon are trying to, you know, soften the fact that Americans are going to be left behind in Afghanistan. And they're trying to say, well, they want to stay. You know, we can't force them to leave. And, you know, these Americans, they want to stay in Afghanistan and they want to be hostages and they want to be abused and tortured. And that's, you know, that's their free choice here. And, they're now saying the estimated number of Americans who are still in Afghanistan is about 1,500. The number's been dropping. At one point, it was 8,000, then 1,500, and just before airtime, there was another report saying, well, it's really down to 1,000. So gigantic cover-up in place there. Now, one of the talking points the Pentagon came up with to sort of soften the impact of that $83 billion worth of weapons that the Taliban captured was to say, well, you know, they probably can't use them. They don't know how to use them. They haven't been trained. It's all high-tech stuff, and, you know, they don't have the skills. Well, you know, the Afghanis are sharp people. I'm sure they have experts in there. And in point of fact, a video has surfaced showing the Taliban flying one of their newly acquired Black Hawk helicopters. And, you know, it's over 200 aircraft total. And as a result, the Taliban now has the 26th largest air force in the world. You know, larger than many, many nations here. And among their other prizes, they got the PC-12NG Spectre ISR spy planes. That is very high tech. And even if the Taliban doesn't figure out how to make them work, and there's probably an instruction manual somewhere on board, I am sure that Russia and China are going to make a very generous offer to the Taliban for a look-see and reverse engineer thereof. Marco Rubio, being apparently a war hawk, is out there saying Biden should threaten the Taliban with death if they get in the way of evacuating Americans. And that may not be the problem. There's a very disturbing story. This came on out from Russia Today. There was a private charter flight that was sent to Kabul to evacuate hundreds of Afghans. And when it took off, just 50 of the 345 seats were filled. And the reports are that not only the Taliban, but U.S. forces prevented people from boarding the aircraft. Now, this flight was one of three intended to carry 1,000 Afghans to Uganda. It was chartered by businessman George Abi Habib. And it basically left, you know, nearly 300 empty seats. So something's going on there. Meanwhile, the British Shadow Secretary Rob Prescher told Sky News that hundreds of stranded civilians are being shot at, beaten, and turned away at checkpoints by the Taliban in Kabul. And there was one story here that there were some students. There was a student tour in Afghanistan from California, and six of the students have gotten out with their parents, but 18 others are still trapped inside the country. And the Department of Defense had a little bit of a whoopsie. This actually happened a few days ago. They tweeted out a photo, they released it to the media, labeled as a U.S. plane rescuing civilians at the Kabul airport. But sharp-eyed readers noticed that the airplane in question, the Globemaster, bore the marks of the United Arab Emirates. The Globemaster is sold all over the world, and the UAE had one, or probably more than one, but they sent one to help evacuate people. Okay. Needless to say, the foreign media is having a field day. They're basically reporting on what they call Biden's dumpster fire. And so, again, the damage to our international reputation is horrendous. And I think this is a repeat of the Soviet withdrawal from Afghanistan. It's the beginning of the decline of the American empire. All right. Now, the newly formed government of Afghanistan is facing a serious cash shortfall. They have about $1.6 billion in cash on hand, which is not going to run a country. And last week, the IMF decided that Afghanistan will not be allowed to access its resources. Here in the United States, they have frozen nearly $9.5 billion in assets belonging to the country's central bank. And it's almost like somebody wants the Taliban to keep growing those opium poppies. Isn't that amazing here? But in the end here, you know, Afghanistan has finally been liberated from a regime that imposes mandatory face coverings, destroys statues, and promotes the genital mutilation of children. Wait a minute. Let me back up on that one. Forget I said that. That was silly of me here. Getting into non-Afghanistan political news here, Tara Reid came on out with a very interesting article, again, in Russia Today, commenting on how the corporate media is starting to turn not just on Biden, but on Cuomo, and saying that, you know, is just being a Democrat enough to ensure positive press? And the answer apparently is no. The corporate media realizes they're betting on a losing horse here. Biden's poll numbers are continuing to plummet. They're virtually in free fall at this moment here. Now, Representative Ronnie Jackson, he's a Republican from Texas. He was the former White House doctor for Presidents Obama and Trump. And he's out there saying that President Biden definitely has cognitive issues that are making the situation in Afghanistan worse because of his poor decision making. And the first thing that pops into my mind is that U.S. intelligence agencies were telling Biden Afghanistan is going to fall rapidly to the Taliban when you start pulling the troops out. And Biden either ignored them or he heard them and then just completely forgot about it. Okay, Kamala Harris is still on her Asia tour. She's in Vietnam. Still won't talk about Afghanistan, but by golly, she's out there talking about climate change and LGBT rights in Vietnam. She then embarrassed herself, and by extension, the United States of America, she laid a wreath on a site marking the capture of John McCain. Apparently, she thought it was some kind of a memorial, and why she didn't stop to wonder why Vietnam would raise a memorial to John McCain. But she laid a wreath on there, and the Vietnamese were not at all amused by that. out in California, Gruesome Newsom has been hit with another blow just before the recall election. The California state auditor found massive financial and programmatic mismanagement under Governor Newsom, specifically in the management of COVID funds coming from the federal government. And Elizabeth McDonald, a financial reporter for Fox Business, said California was supposed to be the country's global policymaking model, but when you look at this devastating California state audit report, the mismanagement is touching practically every facet of California voters' lives. And so that's why the Democrats in California are stealing ballots and marking them up and so forth and so on. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo may be taking a bit of a hit. He has written a book. He's had a $5.1 million book deal, and he may not be allowed to keep the money because he violated New York law by using his staffers to help write it. And that's a tacky no-no. And the Ethics Committee is still deciding what they're going to do. Getting on back to Ashley Babbitt, their family attorney, Terry Roberts, is now raising the issue that Michael Leroy Byrd, who is black, may have just decided to shoot Ashley Babbitt, who is white, just out of this idea of racism. You know, hate whitey and pull the trigger, and Ashley Babbitt is now dead. Interestingly enough, the January 6th detainees, or actually to be more accurate, political prisoners, are being offered the COVID vaccination. If they refuse, they are being denied razors, haircuts, and political prisoners are saying they're trying to make them look like terrorists before their court date. Okay. Getting on back to the Gretchen Whitmer FBI hatched kidnapping plot, the first suspect, non-FBI of course, has been sentenced to 6 years in prison, and he was the only one out of a dozen men who pled guilty, and they gave him 6 years there. And of course, the 12 FBI informants who were involved in setting this whole thing up, I mean, they came on in and sold these guys on the idea. And we've seen the FBI do this so many times, and, you know, they probably got bonuses and raises and promotions and so forth. Ghislaine Maxwell is back in the news. Apparently she's acting out. She tried to barricade herself in the prison video conference room using a cart of legal documents, and prosecutors are claiming that Maxwell created a security threat by blocking the door and preventing guards from accessing there. Out in Hollywood, we talked about Spike Lee a few days ago, in which he went public saying that he was convinced there was controlled demolition at the 9/11 false flag, and he is currently re-editing his HBO series on 9/11 to include the theory that World Trade Center 7 was brought down by explosives. So good for Spike Lee on that one. And, yeah, the evidence is overwhelming that the whole thing was a staged event to launch the century of war that was promised in the Project for the New American Century. Getting on to the issue of vote fraud, there's a big fight gearing up in Pennsylvania. The president of the Pennsylvania Senate, Jake Corman, has done everything possible to block a full forensic audit for months, and is now attacking State Senator Mastriano, who has been calling for an audit in Pennsylvania. So that fight is continuing, and good, let them fight. Make it public. Let the public see what's going on in those darkened rooms and corridors. We got to take a break for commercials. We will be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here, and interestingly enough, there's a commercial running on one American news network, call this number and press one. They're probably fundraising, but the message is, let Joe Biden know he is responsible for the failed exit in Afghanistan, and certainly he is. Okay, this is the part of the program where I get out my knee pads and I get down on my knees and I remind you all that Republic Broadcasting Network needs your ongoing support in these chaotic, lie-filled, I mean, the lies have hit the tsunami stage at this point, and we really do need your help. And we thank those of you who have been keeping Republic Broadcasting on the air. So the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer, anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. Now remember, if you mail in a donation of $100 or more, you will get your choice of an official RBN coffee mug or an official RBN t-shirt like the one I am wearing here today. And so include a return address, and if you want the t-shirt, we need your t-shirt size. So the network thanks you for that. All righty, getting on back to the election fraud issues here. There is a judge, Linda Parker, and somehow got chosen for the 2020 election case in Michigan, and is basically ordering that Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell be punished for even daring to sue the state for election fraud in the 2020 election, and in fact is even pushing for them to be completely disbarred. Now, that is definitely political repression. Okay. Out in Arizona, pardon me, the Arizona Secretary of State candidate Mark Fincham is saying that the National Association of Secretaries of State aim to prevent a Maricopa-style forensic audit from ever happening again. They want to lock the fraud into place. You know, how dare you notice we're stealing elections? You're not supposed to do that. Well, too late. You made it just way too obvious back in November 2020. That's what happens when you try and reverse a landslide. Everybody sees what you're doing here. Over in Georgia, the election reform group Voter GA is suing the state of Georgia to ban Dominion voting systems technology in future elections. And I think that's a good idea, but, you know, the other election machine voting companies are just as crooked. There isn't an honest one out there is the problem here, which is why when I wrote my article on how to have an honest election, I said no counting machines, no computers, all done on paper ballots, all done by hand. Getting into COVID-19, and that is still out there. Interesting little story that came out of Crack News. They're saying basically that unvaccinated people, people who have not had the jab, have already reached herd immunity, and now the vaccinated are getting sick as the vaccines fail. And the numbers are really alarming, especially the ones coming out of Israel. And up in Canada, apparently Trudeau is trying to make plans what he's going to do, how he's going to deal with it when it becomes obvious that the vaccines have failed. And it's going to cause a huge mess everywhere on Earth that these vaccines were being mandated here. Still seeing more articles talking about the FDA approval, which turned out to be of a completely different vaccine than the one that Pfizer is sticking into our arms right now. And this vaccine that was actually approved, Comirnaty, they skipped the stage 3 trials. And there was data on injuries and deaths from this vaccine, and the FDA went ahead and approved it. Just so the White House and the media could say, oh, the vaccine is approved, the mandates can go forward, forget about the Nuremberg Code and federal law against forcing experimental treatments on people without their permission. New York's new governor, Kathy Hochul, has acknowledged that they've had 12,000 more deaths in New York than previously disclosed by Cuomo. So I guess everybody's lying about the numbers in all directions, and man, it's here. Down in Australia, they've had these absolutely tyrannical, draconian lockdowns, travel restrictions, and despite that, Australia's COVID cases are skyrocketing. Okay, so the lockdowns don't work. The travel restrictions don't work. Something is broken. You know, probably the science, as it has been revealed to us by the, you know, the media, may in fact be wrong. Going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are living.
Welcome back to our show. Here we're talking about the COVID-19, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and now the lambda variation is out there. And I'm still wondering how they're able to tell that somebody has the delta variant other than that they're getting sick despite the vaccination, because, these virus particles are so similar, it would take a scanning electron microscope to be able to tell the difference between them. And I don't think they're doing that for every single patient. Anyway, article coming out of Post News D2, U.S. officials are approving a third COVID shot after 6 months instead of 8 months after the full vaccination. So they're out there pushing the shots and making money for the medical industrial complex. Over in San Francisco, they are going to suspend all the police and firefighters who refuse the COVID vaccines. And so that will be a field day for the criminals and the arsonists, of which California seems to be dealing with a lot of those right now. Meanwhile, Tucker Carlson took Oregon Governor Kate Brown to task, described her as a power-mad hypocrite for trying to reintroduce outdoor mask mandates regardless of your vaccination status. And the research shows that outdoor transmission is very, very low. So, you know. Meanwhile, this may be in response to the fact that the American people have lost a lot of their fear of America's military might. We are starting to see more and more of these protests right here in the United States of America. There was a huge protest in New York outside City Hall to protest the COVID-19 vaccine mandates. They got a lot of coverage on One American News Network. I don't know if anybody else covered them because I don't watch those channels anymore. Over in France, where they're just having an ongoing protest regarding the COVID lockdowns here, protesters decided to hold a picnic outside the restaurants in Reims, France, that were screening for the health passport system. So they brought their own food and they sat down and had themselves a meal to sort of underscore things there. Over in Michigan, there was a large crowd showed up for a protest after their unelected officials made a last-minute decision to mandate masks for kids. Meanwhile, over at the Tourist Suppression Agency, otherwise known as the TSA, they have now decided that they're going to order Americans to wear masks on all buses and trains in the entire country. And, yeah, it's just getting out of control here. Over in California, they are looking at legislation that would make it a jailable crime to protest vaccination sites. That is a clear violation of the First Amendment. And if that bill gets passed, somebody's going to have to sue and take that all the way to the Supreme Court on that. We got to start fighting. We got to start pushing back. We've been pushed far enough. We've got to push back here. Up in Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker is getting ready to order all teachers from kindergarten to college to take their vaccines. And children over two years old, will be forced to wear masks indoors. Oh, it's just amazing. Up in Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot had a vaccine mandate announcement. The Chicago Police Union sent a two-word response: hell no. So good for them. Alrighty, now this is a little alarming. This is coming out of the Second News, and I haven't been able to find confirmation on it yet, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. This is coming from an inside source at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. They're very concerned about how many people are faking vaccine cards, and so they're getting ready to roll out a new vaccine passport card with an embedded microchip. And even worse, you're going to need to have this card to buy anything in the United States of America. And they're going to have a machine like a credit card reader, or maybe it'll use the same credit card reader at the cash register, and you're going to have to insert your card, and if the card says you're not currently vaccinated, the sale will not go through. And this is going to result in further economic hardship on those retail locations, and the card will be updated with any vaccine boosters that are mandated by the government. And if you haven't had the booster shots, the card will classify you as unvaxxed, even if you had the Pfizer and Moderna or Johnson & Johnson shots. So, to me, that Orwell is spinning in his grave at this particular point. Another reason to be very cautious about the vaccinations is coming from Japan. They have suspended the use of 1.63 million doses of Moderna's vaccine when they found contamination in several vials. And Takeda Pharmaceutical Company, who's in charge of sales and distribution of the Moderna shot in Japan, said it received reports from several vaccination centers that foreign substances were being found inside unopened vials. So the quality control definitely is not there. You know, I mean, Big Pharma can just shoot anything into your body they want. They won't be sued. You'll have to go to the vaccine court. Anyway, a little bit of good news for those of you who got the vaccine and suffered a negative reaction. The pharmaceutical companies are already developing new drugs to treat the adverse reactions caused by the COVID vaccines, okay? And so, you know, your doctor's going to tell you, you know, that free shot that you got a couple of months ago, well, it's made you really, really sick. But we can treat that for about $20,000. Alrighty. You remember a while back when the vaccines were first rolling out, CNN actually said on the air, don't be alarmed if people start dying after taking the vaccine. And they said the deaths may occur that won't necessarily have anything to do with the vaccine. If people start dying, just don't worry about it. Just take our word for it here. Out in my former stomping ground, Hawaii, Governor Ige is literally pleading for tourists to stay away because of their COVID crisis, and their hospitals are supposedly full. And for a state whose economy is heavily dependent on tourism, going to put a lot of those Hawaiian businesses out of business. And, you know, it's like mass insanity. And I think back to that book. I think it's called The Madness and Delusions of Crowds, or it's The Delusions and Madness of Crowds. And it talks about things like tulip mania and, other hysterias throughout history, which were very, very damaging. And I think we're going through the same thing with COVID. It's no longer science. It's become a cult. It's a religion. It's a hysteria. And everybody's, you know, who buys into it, they're just overreacting. You know, we're dealing with a vaccine that is so safe, you have to be forced to take it. To deal with a disease so deadly, you have to be tested to know that you've got it. So that's where we are right now, and it's all about the Benjamins. All right, getting into the international news and talk about insensitivity here. White House officials are saying that the withdrawal from Afghanistan is going to be good for Israel. And they're saying it will free up resources that can be used to support the Jewish state. Imagine my joy and delight over that news, okay? And I think this has to do with Iran, because the Israeli military said yesterday it is developing new plans to strike Iran, and Prime Minister Naftali Bennett is currently in Washington renewing our special relationship and demanding that Biden scrap the nuclear deal with Iran and set the stage for a new war there. Okay, all righty. Again, in Israel, there was a demonstration in Gaza against the punishing lockdown there that the Palestinians have endured for 14 years. It's been a blockade, and Israel only allows just enough through for the Palestinians to survive. They literally run a calculation. What's the population of Palestine? What's the population of Gaza? How many calories do they need to stay alive? And that's just how many get let in. And so the Palestinians had a demonstration in Gaza, and the Israeli army opened up with live ammunition and tear gas. They shot at least five Palestinians with live ammunition, and several other protesters were hit with tear gas canisters, and that's a favorite Israeli trick. Now, normally when you fire tear gas, you just fire it in the general direction. The canister falls to the ground. The tear gas comes out, but the Israelis love to aim those canisters at the heads of the Palestinians because they can fracture your skull. They're that heavy, and they're traveling that fast. All right, let's get into the economic news now. New jobless claims rise for the first time in 5 weeks, but remain near the pandemic low at 353,000. Now, these are people who are just now applying for employment, but that number is going to get a lot worse very quickly, because you have 7.5 million Americans are going to lose their financial assistance, the COVID financial assistance, by Labor Day. And you also have that issue of the expiration of the eviction moratorium. The government has really economically painted itself into a corner, and they may figure a new war may get them off the hook here, because they've done it before. Crash of 1907, World War One; crash of 1929, World War Two; crash of 2008, and look how many nations we're annoying around the world here. All right, I was talking before about California having an epidemic of arson, and they've got five new wildfires there that just popped up here. One of the biggest ones is the Caldor wildfire, which is closing in on Lake Tahoe. And, satellite images and pictures from the ISS are just showing the smoke all over the country. I mean, we even see it here. It colors our sunrises and sunsets and the moon here. And interestingly enough, there was a woman who was arrested for setting a fire near that big one there. And oddly enough, she was wearing a bikini. There's a lot of very disturbed people running around this country, not to mention the White House. Meanwhile, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is insisting that Biden must resettle at least 200,000 Afghans in the U.S., as long as they promise they'll vote Democratic, I assume. And let's see, that's basically 200,000 Afghans would be about 4.5% of the total number of Afghans in the city of Kabul. And they're going to bring them all to the United States if Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has her way. And remember the other day when Biden promised that all the Afghan refugees would be properly vetted and go through a background check? Well, this story coming on out of Geller Report, actually, so take it with a grain of salt here, is saying that ISIS and Taliban have been found among the Afghan refugees. And normally I wouldn't post anything from Geller Report, but I've heard the same information from a couple of other sources. And, when the acts of terror begin, the Democrats are going to scream Islamophobia and how we shouldn't blame all Muslims for the act of a deranged few, a tolerance that gun owners clearly do not get in this country. Every time somebody whose brain is melted on prescription antidepressants opens fire, they say, oh, we got to ban all the guns, got to take all the guns away. They're a danger here. Getting even more Orwellian, there is a secret, well, it's not secret any longer, obviously. There is a program being run by the Department of Homeland Security. It's hosted on the Amazon web servers, and it scans the social media of naturalized Americans. And if it finds something that the DHS doesn't like, these naturalized Americans could have their citizenship revoked. And again, this is a First Amendment violation. And these naturalized citizens, because they have gone through the process of naturalization, they are U.S. citizens entitled to the protection of the Bill of Rights. All right. Over at Stanford Law School, students have been issued a guide to dismantle, quote, patriarchal, racial, colonial capitalism, end quote, which sounds very Marxist to me, if you want my opinion on that thing. Getting into computers and security, there is a critical vulnerability in Cisco small business routers, and they're saying it's not going to be patched by Cisco because the devices reached end of life back in 2019. But, people are still using them, because why spend money on a new one if the old one continues to work? And The issue resides in the router's universal plug-and-play service, enabling an unauthenticated remote attacker to execute arbitrary code or cause an affected device to restart unexpectedly, resulting in a denial of service condition. And this impacts the RV110W wireless and VPN firewalls, the RV130 VPN routers, the RV130W wireless multifunction routers, and the RV215 wireless VPN routers. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back with more news after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in jail.
Welcome back to our show here. Now, there is a hacker, a threat actor, they call them now, known as Shiny Hunters, who on a hacking forum offered to sell a database of 70 million customers of AT&T. And the starting price was $200,000. and incremental offers of $30,000. And they're trying to get a bidding war going, and they say they'll sell it immediately for a cool $1 million. AT&T denied the break-in actually happened. But the apparently the threat actor shared some examples, and a security researcher said that two of the four people in the samples were confirmed to have accounts on AT&T.com. So AT&T got hacked, and the first thing they want to do is lie about it. Okay, the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which is not on my list of really effective government bodies here, they've issued its first alert tagged as urgent, warning admins to patch on-premises Microsoft Exchange servers against actively exploited proxy shell vulnerabilities. And they're warning people to basically patch the Microsoft Exchange servers to get the patch from May 2021 to protect against those attacks. And I can understand why people are often reluctant to install those patches when they come out, because Microsoft has had a problem with them actually breaking things. And so people just don't bother. And, you know, if the system is working, I'm not going to bother with that whole thing. All righty. There is a botnet based in Mirai, and it's targeting a critical vulnerability, say that three times fast, in the software development kit used by hundreds of thousands of Realtek-based devices. That's 200 models from at least 65 vendors, including Asus, Belkin, D-Link, Netgear, Tenda, ZTE, and Zyzel. And they basically said, yeah, it's a huge, huge botnet and can use smart lighting gateways, connected toys, IP cameras, Wi-Fi repeaters, and just really, it's one why I don't like Internet of Things devices in this house. I've got enough problems with the computers I already have. Now, here's something kind of cool. In response to the riots in South Africa that resulted in a huge amount of looting, including big screen TVs, Samsung has revealed that they can disable any of their TV sets remotely. So if you have a Samsung TV and it gets stolen, you can go to Samsung, say, this is the serial number off of it, and they will turn it off so whoever stole it or bought it can't use it. All right, we're going to take a break for station identification. We're going to open up the phone lines, 512-248-8252. I want to hear how angry you are over the situation in Afghanistan. We'll be right back.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.